fasten your seatbelts, get the tissues ready, and polish up those dancing shoes. We're going down musical memory lane with me, Monique Chambers, and a bunch of guests that have got really eclectic taste. Welcome to this week's Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Ian DeCesare of the Eden Leisure Group. So you've been surrounded by all types of music and film and etc. for all your life, I guess. So your song list is actually quite a surprise when I when I received it. It was not quite what I was expecting.
Yes, well, probably you'd notice that I was very prolific in the 60s and early 70s,
yes.
And then went into a music warp and it died.
Everyone does that, though. It's true. Yeah. I'm stuck in 1984 and I haven't progressed from there. So I think everybody has this, you know, time in their life, yeah. And then they kind of stop there. But your first one's a bit of an angry song, Eve of Destruction by Barry McGuire. Why does that strike a chord with you?
Remember, I was 13 or 14 when that came out.
Okay.
And kids always tend to be, you know, a little bit, not aggressive, but they want to protest about everything that's going on. Should know that today.
Yes.
Everybody seems to be protesting about everything. But it's songs like this that always made me think a little bit, and it made me think politically, and
okay.
Made me think about people. And Eve of Destruction, although it sounds like Armageddon, was mostly referring to the Vietnam War, and in those days the Cold War was at its height, China, which was supposed to be a terrible place, and Russia was a terrible place, and the West was absolutely beautiful. And what Barry McGuire was saying is that, you know, we're on the eve of destruction because we're always sending our children to war. They're yet not old enough to vote, but they're old enough to carry guns and shoot people and so on, so on, so on.
So was that frightening as a 13-year-old to sort of think that that might be what your life was going to be about?
I don't think I was frightened. I think it upset me. I was angry.
Mm.
In the sense, I wasn't chucking stones or anything, but I think it influenced me a lot. And a lot of, funnily enough, a lot of film and music influenced how I think, whether it's to do with politics or religion or all sorts of things that we
so it's the words
are so important.
For you,
yes,
generally. It's
yes.
Not just the,
yes.
the tone sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's actually the words.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. So let's have a bit of a listen to Eve of Destruction by Barry McGuire. This might take you back to 1964, though.
Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me my blood. blood so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. I can't twist the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Of all the hate there is in Red China, then take a look around to Selma, Alabama. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace and tell me.
Now this one, Bob Dylan, Like a Rolling Stone. This is, you know, much more, what's the word? More people know this one, yeah. I think. It's much more out there. And Bob Dylan, everyone's hero, really. Did you like everything that he did, or was it?
No, I think probably Like a Rolling Stone was one of the first ones I liked. That particular track was his first moving out of folk singing and to pop, really. Mm-hmm. Although it's, you can call it a pop song, and it was the first popular song that he did, you know, sort of, and you could actually understand the words, which were very interesting. I think that was done after he had done a very long tour in the UK, and he was feeling a bit homesick, and he was had no direction home, and he felt like a complete unknown.
Like a rolling stone. Yes. So you played this. This is actually quite a long track.
Yes, it is. It's about 6 minutes. Yeah, I think. 5 or 6 minutes.
So is this something that when comes on, you just like, oh, you know, I can have a nice glass of beer or something.
I just love listening to it. Mm. I mean, it's a great song. It's a very catchy tune. The words are easy to follow and to sing with.
You must be more 15, 16-ish
then. I actually enjoy singing. I'm not a very good singer, But I enjoy singing with the music I listen to. So yeah, I would have been about 16 then.
And you'd have blasted your lungs out to this one.
Yes.
There you go. And still today, you still sing along to this?
I still do. I listen to quite a lot of Dylan. I don't like it all, but Dylan is, a little bit one of those artists. So it's a bit like I like Salvador Dali, and I like a lot of his work, and I can't stand
some of it either.
So.
But also, as you go through life, sometimes you discover new things, you hear things differently, something else strikes a chord with you. Maybe with Dylan, that's how it unfolds.
But remember, Dylan is a poet, and he's not just a singer, songwriter. I mean, he won the Nobel Prize.
Yes, exactly.
Not Peace Prize, Prize for Literature. Although he didn't answer them for about 3 months because he forgot to say thank you, I'm going to come.
That just sounds right, though, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, if he jumped to it, you would have lost all respect for him, frankly. But there we go. So let's have a little bit of It's Life's a Rolling Stone.
Kidding you.
The Beatles, big influence on your life.
Yes, they were. And again, we have to remember now, we're going back to, I was at school, I was a boarder.
Mm-hmm. In Malta or in the...
I was at St. Edward's.
Okay.
And we only used to go home for one day a month. And the rest of the time, you were totally, totally, totally cut off. There were no phone calls, no visits from friends, family, or anything at all. You weren't even allowed in the front garden because that was out of bounds.
Wow.
You know, that was how strict
it was. So you did quarantine way before the rest of us.
We did, but I had a transistor radio. A lot of us had a little, tiny little, very small transistor radio. which didn't pick anything up, and there was hardly any music to be listened to in Malta anyway in those days, because I remember there was only Carmen Carbonaro's Housewife's Choice, which had music from 20, 30 years before.
But we
had a very ingenious system of picking up Radio Luxembourg and stations like that. We used to stand outside, it could be a very cold winter's day, and put the transistor radio against a water pipe, which was going up to the roof.
Okay.
And we used to stand there, and that water pipe was an aerial, and we used to be able to pick up obscure stations, you know, with really good pop music.
So you discovered the Beatles.
I discovered the Beatles. Yeah, I mean, like millions of others did as well. But the Beatles showed that they were not just another pop group. I mean, I loved most of the 60s bands, so mm-hmm. I used to enjoy listening to all of them. But the Beatles were just so consistent, you know, sort of for up to about 1980.
I don't know how many tracks they actually had, but you've picked out She Loves You.
Well, I picked up She Loves You not because it's my absolute favorite track, but She Loves You showed that, they were here to stay. It was their third number one.
Okay.
And it was just a really fun. Now, that's complete opposite
to
the other songs that we mentioned earlier, which was, in fact, Barry Maguire, if I can go back to that, was a one-hit wonder. It was the only thing that he ever did.
Because, probably still living off it, though.
I'm sure. I play it often enough. So.
But She Loves You, so there was no, like, romance story there. It's just
I liked all their music. You can go on. I mean, I could have given you some very strange, not strange, but obscure songs that most people mm-hmm. haven't heard of. But I'm very surprised when I hear a song from the Beatles that I don't know.
Ah.
You know, and I probably know the words of as well.
As well. We've got some more coming up, but you also picked out Hey Jude.
Yeah.
Now, this is the one song I actually don't like.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what does it mean to you?
I don't know. It reminds me, I think it was around 68, something like that. I actually remember where we used to listen to it. There was a bar in Prince of Wales on the Baluta side.
Okay. So you didn't have to stand next to a drainpipe
no,
there.
No, by that time we became very sophisticated. You know, so we had built-in areas. I like the refrain, and I like the sort of last 4 minutes of it.
Okay.
Where the song you think is finished and it just goes on and on
and on.
And
on.
I think it's beautiful. But there are so many. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, no. Too many
what almost. Do you like?
I like Twist and Shout is my absolute favorite. Yeah. I like that, the more upbeat, the fun, the dancing.
I can do that for you.
Yes. So we're going to listen to a bit of Hey Jude and a little bit of She Loves You.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart, then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid, you were made to go out and get her.
Now, this is another down there song, Otis Redding.
Yeah.
Change Gonna Come.
Yeah. Well, again, it's a protest.
Yes,
song.
Yes, absolutely.
And in the, you have to try and sort of put your mind back. Well, you can't put your mind back, but to the mid 60s where we're talking about being young and wanting to put the world right. And there was a very strong civil rights movement, which is still alive today in America. There was still a lot of anti-black sentiment in politics and in a lot of the states. And apart from that, the reason why I like a lot of Otis Redding songs is around about 65, I got into soul music.
Okay.
And I just used to love, you know, listening to it, and Wilson Pickett, Don Corvey, Benny King, you know, sort of all these soul music. A lot of the soul music is, again, very much about life and the difficulties that mostly black people have to, or had to, and
still have to, yes,
have to go through. So the sad thing about Otis Redding, of course, is that he died very early. He died in the 60s in a plane crash. So we didn't get as much as we could have got out of Otis.
So let's have a bit of a listen to Change Gonna Come by Otis Redding.
Long time coming, but I know
The next song on your list is the first woman who makes an appearance. Yay! And it's Aretha Franklin. And this song, you almost can't say the title without screaming it at the top of your voice. Yeah. The song is so good, Respect. But this wasn't hers originally.
No, it was actually Otis Redding had done Respect. And that's where I knew that particular song. And then Aretha Franklin did it. And I think I had told you that it's proved that cover versions can actually be better than the originals.
It's true.
Because it's a wonderful adaptation or rendition of that particular song.
No, she puts a whole lot of
life. Aretha Franklin, again, did a lot of music. I think she died recently as well. She was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful singer.
And that was that power. Yes. And, you know.
And she was a Baptist choir singer originally. A lot of black Americans were, is that what they're called these days?
Well, there'll be a different political term
by the time.
Yeah.
By
the time. Yeah. But she was very powerful, very soulful as well. And kind of, you looked up to her, whatever color or creed you were, frankly, and she always made you want to dance.
Yeah, I remember her in, I don't know if you ever saw her in the Blues Brothers in the movie.
Yes, so,
and she,
yes.
She does Respect in the movie, and it really is fabulous.
Yeah, fantastic. No, I'll go and rewatch that again now, because that was a great movie in its own right, actually. So, Respect, Aretha Franklin. So Elton John appears here as well with your song, which is really sad, but really beautiful.
Yeah. Obviously, that was his first release. And I was living in London at the time. I was working there for a year and a half. And I was invited to a dinner party. And this person who invited me owned the Marquee Studios, the Marquee Club in Soho.
Okay.
And next door there were the studios, I think it was the Trident Studios. And when we went for this dinner party, he brought out a vinyl which had no label on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, listen, I want you to listen to this, not me, but
all of us.
All of us. There were about 8 or 10 of us. I want you to listen to this song. It was just recorded this morning, literally hot off the press, okay. And it's not been released yet, but listen to it. And it was your song. And and it's you know, obviously it became a massive hit a few weeks later. And it's a strange thing because you're probably a little bit young, Monique, but what happens to you is you have these stories and after a while you start thinking, did I make this up? You know, and I saw my host of 1971. I saw him recently last year, and I said, Simon, can you remember? Is this my has my memory gone haywire? And he said, No, you're absolutely right. He said it
that
was
happened.
we had got it. It was quite a thing. And I mean, in the 70s, as we joked before, but it's probably not a joke, I sort of wasn't anymore running around with a transistor radio, being very homesick, and all I could do was just listen to music, standing outside at a water pipe. Because in the early 70s, I got married, and by the mid-70s, I was already a father. So not an excuse why I shouldn't be into music very much. I listened to music, but I wasn't that crazy about it. But Elton John obviously was one of the big bands, big musicians at the time. And I particularly liked his albums he did in America when he did Tumbleweed Connection and what was the other one?
I remember Rocket Man. That's one that.
Yeah, but Rocket Man wasn't the American one. It was Madman Across the Water.
Ah, okay.
And a lot of these he did about two or three albums in America, and he went down a storm there as well.
Was it a different style of music? Because
it was completely different. In fact, when he sang those songs, he sang them with a Southern American accent.
Oh wow! Okay.
And there's some beautiful lyrics by Benny Taupin in these American songs as well. There's a beautiful one which is called Old Soldier, which is about this old soldier from the Civil War. And he goes to a bar, and he doesn't really know anybody there. And he starts talking to the young people and tells them, you know, that his time has come and gone. He says he used to come here and drink beer with his friends, but his friends are no longer here. He has to go to the graveyard to see them. You know, he says, so I'd like to buy you another drink and, you know, sort of, think of those soldiers who fought for you. Nice songs.
Sort of melancholy, but
yeah, but very interesting.
Ah, so you mentioned another one here, like
Amarina.
Amarina, yes, yeah. Which I don't know at all.
So that Amarina is fun. It's very lively.
Okay.
And that is just again from the American albums.
But that was quite early on as well. That was
that was about 72, I would reckon.
Something like that.
72, maybe 73, but I think 72.
So we're going to listen to Amarina, and maybe we can sneak a bit of your song in too.
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily hide. I don't have much money, but boy, if I did, I'd buy a big house where we both could live. If I was a sculptor, but then again, no, or a man who makes potions in the traveling shoe. I know it's not much, but it's the best I can do. My gift is my song, yeah, and this one's for you. And you can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is while you're in the world.
from all hearts will appear. Out the verses, well, they've got me quite cross. But the sun's been quite kind while I wrote their song. It's for people like you that keep it turned on. So excuse me for getting, but these things I do. You see, I've forgotten if they're green or they're blue. Anyway, the thing is, what I really mean, yours are the sweetest eyes I've ever seen. Tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is while you're in. I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is while you're in the world.
So we've got here as well John Lennon. So after the Beatles, you still carried on with John Lennon, also Paul McCartney, or
yes,
did you kind of...
John Lennon, look, I like George Harrison as well, and, okay. You know, so, you know, and poor old Ringo, but John Lennon, in a way, he was my favorite, and sometimes I didn't like him because he was too much of a lefty. Mm. He argued about everything and fought again. But, you know, if you don't have people doing this and fighting for what's right, and if you remember, a lot of Lennon's songs are all to do with give peace a chance, imagine. This particular one, which is mostly unknown,
mm-hmm.
Give me some truth.
Truth, uh-huh.
Again, you have to listen to the lyrics where he is saying he's just fed up of people feeding politicians, feeding rubbish to people. We're talking again still about the Vietnam War and civil rights and stuff like that. And he's saying, look, I'm just fed up of listening to you hypocrites and not just politicians, but all these...
the media and everything,
know, yeah,
I guess, at the time.
And so he said, all I want is some truth.
Mm.
Just give me some truth. You know, stop lying to us. It wasn't to him, but just stop lying to us.
Yeah, to the people.
And apart from the fact that I like the melody, and I think it's, you know, the words to me are important. Again, you're right from the start, that I actually like the words of uh-huh. of the songs I like, which is probably influences me more than whether it's going to be the most popular song around.
Yeah, no, it's quite different actually, because a lot of people just like the tune and that, you know, that stops them. But with you, it's the words, which are all, they're all quite deep.
I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by new body, psychotic, big-headed politics. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short head, yellow bellies on the tricky-dicky, gonna
Going to finish on a lighter note, though. We are going to finish on that because we talked about the Beatles earlier, and they're quite a strong influence. I think most times we see you have a Beatles t-shirt on. So, you also had a bit of a singing career, can I say, yourself?
Yes, well, that goes back to the late 80s. It wasn't a singing career at all. It was a drunken 3 weeks touring through California, and we had met some Americans some American friends who came from a place called Thurlock, which I'm sure you've never heard of.
Nope.
And Thurlock is famous for turkeys.
Okay.
So they told me. I've never been there. And they came down to meet us in San Francisco, and we met at Fisherman's Wharf.
Oh, yeah, famous.
On the pier there, and I'm sure when you've been to the States, you start drinking cocktails because everybody likes to have cocktails there, and you're going through your pink Cadillacs and mm-hmm. your slippery this and that and what have you, and Bloody Marys, and probably by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we had more cocktails to drink than anything to eat, and we stopped in a little studio where you can pay your $25 and you go into a booth. And it's almost like a karaoke. They give you the words of the music that you choose. It's a tiny little booth, and there are four of us in this booth. And the first song I tried, after about half a minute, I said, can we stop, please? Can I choose another one? And not charge me another. I tried The House of the Rising Sun.
Oh, that's really
animals, and I just couldn't hit the notes at all.
Yeah.
So we did two numbers. We did Twist and Shout.
My favorite.
And then we did Proud Mary of Creedence Clearwater Revival, which again was a favorite band of mine. Funny enough, Creedence was a country music band, and then they sort of transformed into a more pop band.
Okay. I haven't heard of them actually at all. So
you haven't?
No.
Well, you should play.
But they were around just about when I was born.
Don't listen to my version.
No, we're going to play out on the last two tracks, which is by Ian and the Turkeys. So we've got Twist and Shout and Proud Mary.
Twist a little closer now.
Twist a little closer.
We hope you've enjoyed visiting Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and this week's guest. Tune in next week for more.